Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 10, opulence of the absolute, text number 25. Maharshinam Brigoraham Giram Ast Yekam Aksharam Yajnanam Japa Jagnosmi Stavranam Himalayaha. Okay. Maharishinam. Among the great sages. Brigu. Aham. I am. Yiram. Of vibrations. Asmi. I am. Ekam Aksharam Pranava Yajnanam of sacrifices Japa Jagna chanting Asmi I am Stavaranam of immovable things Himalaya the Himalayan mountains. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Of the great sages, I am Bhrigu. Of vibrations, I am the transcendental Om. Of sacrifices, I am the chanting of the holy names, Japa. And of immovable things, I am the Himalayas. Purport. Brahma, the first living creature within the universe, created several suns for the propagation of various kinds of species. Among these suns, Bhrigu is the most powerful stage. Of all the transcendental vibrations, Om Kara represents Krishna. Of all sacrifices, the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's the purest representation of Krishna. Sometimes animal sacrifices are recommended. In the sacrifice of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, there is no question of violence. It is the simplest and the purest. Whatever is sublime in the world is a representation of Krishna. Therefore, the Himalayas, the greatest mountains in the world, also represent him. The mountain named Meru was mentioned in a previous verse. The Meru is sometimes movable, whereas the Himalayas are never movable. Thus, the Himalayas are greater than Meru. Maharshinam Brigoraham Kiram Asyaikam Aksharam Yajnanam Japa Jagnosmi Stavaranam Himalayaha. Of great sages, I am Bhrigu. Of vibrations, I am the transcendental Om. Of sacrifices, I am the chanting of the holy names, Japa, and of immovable things, I am the Himalayas. Bhrigu Muni is famous because in one of his pastimes, he was with sages, and they were trying to find out who was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was the greatest of all. And Bhrigu was delegated to find out. This is in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 10th canto. At the end of the 10th canto, actually. Still after reading the 10th canto, a few people may wonder, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? As like Prabhupada said, after reading all the Ramayana, someone is asking, who's the father of Sita? In other words, they spent the whole time reading the Ramayana. The most, one of the topics is about Janaka Maharaj, and yet still someone is asking, who's the father of Sita? Similarly, at the end of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which discusses Krishna's pastimes, still we find practically in the next to last chapter one is wondering, someone is questioning, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Better late than never. In any case, Bhrigu went to see his father to see if he's God. And the test of God that he was making was to see how tolerant someone is. If you're God, if you're everywhere, eternally everywhere, past, present, and future, you can be quite tolerant. In any case, Bhrigu went to Brahma, and Brahma came to greet his son, and Bhrigu didn't pay any respect to his father. So this is a respect within his mind, disrespect, an offense within his mind, not paying any respect. So Brahma became angry, and he was going to curse his son. But his great intelligence checked his anger, just like fire can check water. So Bhrigu didn't wait around to take another chance getting cursed by his father. And he left to see his brother, Lord Shiva, in Kailas. And as soon as Bhrigu landed in Kailas, Lord Shiva came to greet him and embrace him and said, "My brother." And Bhrigu said, "Stay away from you, dirty. You're just covered with ashes and from the crematorium. You got snakes on your, you're as strange as anything. Just get away from me. Don't touch me." So Lord Shiva was greatly insulted, took up his trident, was going to kill his brother for insulting words. But Parvati fell at his feet, begged that Bhrigu be forgiven. Lord Shiva's heart softened, and Bhrigu took off. And he went to Swetadweep, where Lord Vishnu was lying on a bed with his wife Lakshmi Devi, massaging his feet. Bhrigu broke into the room, went up to Lord Vishnu and kicked him in the chest. The greatest offense, corporal offense with the body, kicking the goddess of fortune in the chest, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose consort, the goddess of fortune, has rest eternally on his chest. And he kicked Lord Vishnu right in the chest. So generally speaking, anyone who gets lying in his bed with, you know, and his wife massaging his feet, someone breaks into the room and kicks you, you probably get up and there'd be a big fight going on. But Lord Vishnu is not an ordinary person. He got off from the bed, put Bhrigu on the bed, and started to massage his feet. He said, "My dear Bhrigu, please forgive me. I didn't notice you coming in. I committed a great offense by not greeting you properly. Let me massage your feet because I know that your feet are as soft as a lotus flower and my chest is as hard as a thunderbolt. So I pray that your foot was not hurt when it struck my hard chest." So Bhrigu Muni understood what he had done. He also understood Lord Vishnu's position and he discovered who actually is the Supreme. That with a little insult by the mind, Lord Brahma became agitated. With more of an insult with words, Lord Shiva became enraged. But Lord Vishnu, with the greatest insult, was not only disturbed, but he remained exactly in the he remained still in the spiritual, the transcendental position. So Lord Bhrigu is famous because the foot of Bhrigu is said to be on the chest of Vishnu. He kicked him so hard. Of course, it is also said, because the goddess of fortune became angry with Bhrigu Muni, although Vishnu was not angry, the goddess of fortune became angry, and therefore the Brahmins are always poor nowadays, since then. So if you want to make money, don't get second initiation. Don't become a Brahmin. Supposed to laugh. Everyone becomes Everyone became distressed when I said and of course here it mentions the Himalaya mountains. Meru was a mountain made out of gold, which is quite surprising that it says Himalayas are bigger. I don't know how big they are. The Meru is supposed to be 100,000 yojanas high, made out of gold. 100,000 yojanas is, what is that, 120,000 kilometers high? Made out of solid gold. And the Himalayas, I think if they're, what, even if they're 12 kilometers high, that's quite, Himalaya, Mount Everest is how high? What's that? 9 kilometers. Compare that to 120,000 kilometers. No, it's not even 120. It's 100,000 yojanas high, which is 800,000 miles, approximately, which is 1,200,000 kilometers high. So compare that to 9 kilometers. And yet, here, I guess for our little tiny perception, the Himalayas are quite big. Because probably didn't want to disturb anyone by telling them that Meru is 1,200,000 kilometers high. And here it says, Om. Generally, the impersonalists, they chant Om and they think it's something impersonal. But actually, Om is a sound representative of Krishna. Depends what you identify it with. In other words, if we know, just like it says, A represents Krishna, U represents Srimati Radharani, and M represents the living entities and their eternal relationship with each other. So a devotee, when he chants Om, he remembers Krishna's pastimes. And when an impersonalist chants Om, he only remembers Krishna's effulgence. And therefore he only understands Krishna's part of Om, which is Krishna's impersonal aspect. Even if one chants Hare Krishna, as it says here, japa, we can realize Krishna in different ways, even by chanting japa. Just like there was one man who was accompanying Gopal Bhatt to Vrindavan to see Lord Chaitanya. One devotee of Lord Ramachandra who was always chanting Ram 24 hours a day. And on the way to Jagannath, he was accompanying Gopal Bhatt Goswami on his way to Jagannath Puri to see Lord Chaitanya. And Gopal Bhatt was known as an advanced brahmana. And so this particular man who was always chanting Ram, the names of Ram, he was serving Gopal Bhatt all the way. Although Gopal Bhatt was a little embarrassed being served by someone who was apparently such an advanced devotee that he was always chanting the name of Ram. When Gopal Bhatt got to Jagannath Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Gopal Bhatt with great affection and gave him many instructions. A little while later, Gopal Bhatt induced Lord Chaitanya to meet this Brahmin who was always chanting Ram, the names of Ram. But Lord Chaitanya didn't take much pleasure from him because although he was always chanting the name of Ram, he thought by chanting the name of Ram, he was going to become Ram. That's called impersonalism. So anyone can chant the name of Ram or Krishna or Hare, and according to one's understanding of what it means, one will get the result. Prabhupada gives the example of, we've probably heard this example many times. He gives two examples. One of them was the lady who had a goat named Radha. So the goat had a beard, and one day it died. So the lady became very distressed that my beautiful goat Radha, my love of my life, has died. So she started to cry. And someone suggested she go to Bhagavad Saptaha, so maybe there she could get some relief from her suffering due to her dead goat. She went there and she discovered that the person who was giving the lecture for the Bhagavad Saptaha for 7 days had a beard that reminded her of her goat's beard. So every time she looked at him, she remembered her goat and began to cry. And this went on for 7 days. And every time in the 10th canto, because in the 10th canto, they read the story about Radha and Krishna, whenever she heard the name of Radha, she remembered her dead goat and began to cry also. So she was constantly crying throughout the 7 days of the Bhagavad Saptaha, remembering her dead goat, looking at this man's beard, and hearing the name of Radha. Finally, at the end of the Bhagavad Saptaha, the lector, the person who was giving the lecture, came up to her and paid full obeisances and said, "My dear lady, I want to become your disciple. You're such an advanced devotee, full of emotion for Radha and Krishna. Please instruct me. Whenever you looked at me, you cried out of ecstasy. Whenever you heard the name of Radha, you cried of ecstasy." She said, "Well, you don't quite understand. Actually, I had a beautiful goat. Her name was Radha. And she had a beard exactly like yours. So whenever I looked at you, I remembered my beloved Radha, the dead goat. And naturally, I became emotional and began to cry. Similarly, whenever I heard the name of Radha, I remembered my dead goat, my beloved dead goat, and tears would come to my eyes." So if one doesn't understand what Krishna means, what Radha means, what Hare means, what Balaram means, what Ram means, then one may remember something other than Radha and Krishna. Just like Kamsa, wherever he looked, he saw Radha, he saw Krishna and Balaram. Even his wives came to see him one day. All he saw was that they looked like Krishna and Balaram. So he took out his sword to kill them. And they said, "Wait a second, Kamsa. We're actually not Krishna and Balaram. We're your wives." He said, "Oh, I'm sorry. It's been a bad day." Similarly, Prabhupada gives the story of the man who had a wife. Her name was Radha. And whenever he heard the name of Radha, he remembered his pastimes with his wife. So I think he also went to a... What was that? Actually probably writes that there. I think he also went to a Bhagavad Saptaha. And the same thing happened there. And whenever he heard the name of Radha, he remembered not Krishna and Radha, he remembered his wife. So though others may think someone to be a great devotee, but actually we don't know what's going on in their mind if they don't actually understand the philosophy. And I think that was Maharshinam Brigiraham Giram Asyekam Giram Akshayam Aksharam Jagdanam Japa Jagnosmi Stavaranam Himalaya. Therefore, we have to simultaneously, with chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, also understand Krishna in truth. Otherwise, the Hare Krishna mantra will not have its full effect. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna. There is namavas, sanketa namavas, when people mean something else but say the name of Krishna. Wouldn't they get the woman with the goat Radha, or the man who remembered Barbara's wife or his wife?
Barbara's wife.
Radha. Wouldn't they also get some benefit? And what could that benefit be?
Well, she'll become a goat. And he, who knows where he's going. There's something called Nama Parad also. Nama Vas, if you're chanting and somehow or another you get some, you're not offensive. But if you have some wrong conception, different from innocently chanting, without, just like the person who chanted Har Ram, he didn't know he didn't identify Har Ram with something other than Ram. He didn't know, he wasn't conscious. He didn't think Har Ram means harem or something. And thought of his wives. He just innocently was chanting Har Ram, and therefore he got the benefit of chanting Hari Ram. But if you actually have a conception, like the Mayavadis, and you chant it, then the conception actually grows in your heart. Instead of making spiritual advancement, you become degraded. Anything else? So the worst thing to do is learn the wrong philosophy. Better not to know anything than learn the wrong philosophy.
There are also a couple of questions from Avaduta Rai Prabhu. And the first is, I discovered that I am a most degraded rascal, according to Mukunda Mala Stotra, verse 35. I don't shed tears when chanting the holy name or hear about Krishna. Can you give me some encouragement?
Well, cut a couple of onions, and then tears when you're chanting. Cut some onions. And then tears will come from your eyes.
There's another one.
We have to pay attention. I mean, the process of Krishna consciousness has become offenseless. So as it says in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, if we chant and we don't feel any effect from it, it's because we're committing offenses. So the remedy is we have to stop committing offenses. We have to take them seriously.
There is also another one. He says, today I was reading the symptoms of Kali Yuga in the Bhagavatam, but I am wondering, what is so spiritual about those descriptions?
Well, what's spiritual is that people who understand and try to understand the horrors of Kali Yuga and take shelter of Krishna. That's what's spiritual about it. It's meant to put us into a state of consciousness. We got to understand how undesirable it is not to take shelter of Krishna in Kali Yuga. Unless you were wondering what it would be like to be a little pygmy and you were running around eating people. Unless you're interested in finding out what that's about, then don't stay around for the end of Kali Yuga. One time Prabhupada was asked, because Prabhupada was he was on a big TV show in America, and he asked, the moderator asked Prabhupada, because Prabhupada was talking about Kali Yuga and the horrors of Kali Yuga. So the moderator said, Swamiji, so where will you and your disciples be at the end of Kali Yuga? So Prabhupada said, we won't be around to see all the fun. So if you see a big sign, there's some dogs behind a fence, they're pit bull dogs, and they devour people. You see a big sign, keep out, dangerous animals. And you think, well, I haven't seen dangerous animals, let me take some photos of them up close. So if you're such a fool, you saw the sign, you still climb over the fence to see what the pit bull dogs are like, then you're a fool. So if you hear the horrors of Kali Yuga and you still don't take spiritual life seriously, then you get the results of it. And you'll be around to see all the fun. Anything else?
Maharaj, how do you know that proverb?
What's that?
Reading Ramayana all night, in the morning you ask, who is the father of Sita? Like, how do you know it? It is a Bengali proverb, right?
It's a Bengali, someone is asking?
No, it's my question.
I don't understand the question.
How do you know that that proverb?
Proverb, yeah.
Proverb,
because Prabhupada said it.
Yeah, it's a typical Bengali proverb. We use it
every day. Yes, Prabhupada is Bengali, so he knows all those things. All right. Khala, Parsiva, thank you. Grantara Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Kijai.